Hello, and welcome to the Embassy City Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Now here's Pastor Tim.
Come on, it's Palm Sunday. Somebody give him some praise. Like he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Like he is the one that was promised that came. Come on, somebody give Jesus the praise that he deserves in this place. Man. Well, it's Palm Sunday. Anybody excited about Easter next week? Oh, come on now. I am elated. I am so excited about what's going to happen. I believe that God's going to do what he does, and his plans are always better than ours. So I think we plan well, but he's got better plans than that. So I cannot wait. We want you to have an opportunity to invite somebody next week. So we are outside in the lobby. You're going to find these invitation cards that just snag a few of them and pass them out. And, you know, you may be wondering, like, how do I pass them out? I feel so awkward. I'm an introvert. Let me give you some strategies. If you're at the restaurant, leave it at the table and walk away. Make sure you pay your bill and tip well. Or just hand it to somebody and run off. If you are an extrovert, have a conversation. Make sure to get there. But it's going to be a good time. Make sure you invite somebody because there's no telling what God will do in somebody's life that's going to be there. And somebody say amen. Amen. Following that Sunday, following Easter Sunday, we are going to have Baptism Sunday. Come on now. And y'all know how we do Baptism Sunday. But this one's even going to be different because we believe that God's going to do great things on Easter. We are preparing for an influx of people that want to be baptized that following week. So we are very ready. And so if you haven't registered, you can register online. But you know how we do it. If you haven't registered and you show up and the Holy Spirit's like, it's time, get in the water. We got the shorts. We got the t-shirts. We got the towels. We got the warm water, and then we got the cheering squad. So make sure that you show up, invite somebody. Then that on that Sunday, that evening, we've got prayer night. Yes. Nothing we do here is done without prayer. So we invite you. If you've never been to a prayer night, show up because they literally are so special. God does something so real in those moments. All right, so are y'all ready to get this word? Grab your Bibles. We're going to Luke chapter 19, the book of Luke chapter 19. This is Palm Sunday. Last week, we started a series we are calling He Is. Last week, our topic was He Is Coming. And today, we're going to continue the conversation. So Luke chapter 19, verse number 36. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers begin to shout and sing as they walked along. KJV and the ESV say that they shouted loud. You know, some people get annoyed by loud church. Jesus not only likes to be praised loudly, he endorses loud worship. All of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God. Here's why: for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. You know, there's always somebody when you're praising God that's going to want you to be quiet. Even Jesus had to deal with it. There's always somebody that's worried about the volume. And they didn't even have speakers. This is what he said. He replied, If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, inanimate objects, rocks, are going to cry out. I don't know about you, but I ain't going to let no rock outpraise me for what God's done in my life. You can do you, but I'm going to do me, and God's done enough for me to give him all the praise that he's worthy of. Is there anybody in here on this Palm Sunday that came to give God all the glory that we owe him for all of the things? I've got at least two or three that are testifying for giving him all the glory for all the things that he's done in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for that day. I pray, God, that as we sit in your presence, when you hear your words, that we would get out of the way and your presence would fill this place. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mind to understand what you would say to us. Help us to walk out of here different than the way we came in. We give your name all the praise, the glory, and the honor because you're worthy of it. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. My topic for today is he is here. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, he is here. Don't look at your neighbor and say, he is here. If you believe that, one more time, give God some praise. Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is this week, and in the Christian world, we call this day Palm Sunday because we take this Sunday to commemorate what is known as the triumphal entry. And the triumphal entry is unique because it depicts a special event. And there are many things in the triumphal entry that we could look at and we could study out. There are a lot of theological significances in that moment. For instance, we could talk about the fact that the triumphal entry, the time period at which it happened, is correlated to Exodus chapter 12. Because Palm Sunday, or the triumphal entry, was the day, which was also in the Jewish tradition, the day of lamb selection. It was the day when the Jews who were getting ready to make a sacrifice would select a lamb, according to Exodus chapter 12, when God gives the law to Moses and the children of Israel to commemorate the day called the Passover, which was the celebration that the death angel had passed over. God says, on the first month, on the 10th day, you are to select a lamb that has no spot or blemish, which will become the sacrifice on the 14th day. And then you're going to take blood from that lamb, and you're going to put it on the doorpost of your house, which is to signify that moment when the death angel, which should have killed you, passed over. Thousands of years later, the day that Jesus rides in on a donkey is the 10th day of the first month. What nobody knew at that time, except for Jesus and the angelic host, was that Jesus was the perfect spotless lamb which was being selected for the sacrifice of Passover. I could spend the next 45 minutes talking to you about the significance of how Jesus became the fulfillment of the types and shadows that happened thousands of years before. Because here's what's interesting. Jesus was selected on the 10th day, and then he was sacrificed on the 14th day of the month, which would have been Friday. No man can orchestrate this. Jesus orchestrated this himself. So we could talk about the significance of the day and what it represents, but we could also talk about the fact that Jesus came riding in on a donkey. And not just any donkey, he came in riding on a colt, which was a young donkey, which had not been trained yet. So Jesus orchestrated that he would come into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey. Now, the reason why that's significant is because kings didn't ride donkeys. Kings always came in riding on a horse, specifically a stallion, which represented power and authority and dominance. And yet when Jesus decides to do it, he did it to fulfill the prophecy that we find in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where the Bible says, "Behold, your king is coming riding on a donkey." Now, why is that significant? Because a donkey represents peace. It's only something that a servant would ride on, or those in a lower class. And so Jesus demonstrated a juxtaposition or a paradox where he comes as the King of Kings, but he's riding in on a beast of burden which represent peace. Yeah. Jesus was trying to demonstrate to them that when my kingdom comes, it doesn't have to come by force. It doesn't have to come by swords and shields. It can come in with peace because that's who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. So there's all types of things that we could talk about in this passage and what it represents. But we do know that the event was so significant because all four of the gospel writers mention it. And it was the inauguration of Holy Week, which means that this was the beginning of the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. And what's interesting is when you read the gospel writers, everyone writes from a different perspective. But they all spend a significant amount of time talking about this event and then Jesus' week and then a couple of days after that until his ascension. So if you read, for instance, Matthew's account, Matthew writes about it in Matthew chapter 1, from Matthew chapter 21 all the way through the end, you recognize that Matthew spent over a quarter of his gospel dedicated to the triumphal entry forward to the ascension. If you read the account of Mark, Mark starts in Mark chapter 11. He spends about 37% of his gospel talking about the triumphal entry until the ascension. John, he writes about it in John chapter 12. He spends almost half of his gospel from this point forward. And then you have Luke. He writes it in Luke chapter 19, which we read. So he spends about 25% of his gospel dedicated to this event moving forward. So what you have to recognize is that the gospel writers, all the events they wrote about over the three and a half years they had been with Jesus, they thought it significant enough to write about this event. And so my question is, what happened at the event? And what we know is that all four gospels, even though they're writing from different perspectives, they all agree to one thing, that there was shouting and rejoicing in that moment. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, paint the picture that there were two different crowds there. One crowd that was in Jerusalem who saw Jesus coming, and they were asking the question, who is he? Who is this individual that thinks of himself so highly that he would come riding in on the procession of what should be reserved for a king? The Pharisees were watching this happen, and they wanted to know, who does he think he is? He's a great teacher. We see him do miracles, but this is crossing the line because he is following a path and doing something that was foretold by the prophets. Who does he think he is? But then there was another crowd that was with Jesus who were making their way to Jerusalem, and that crowd was declaring who he is. One crowd was asking, who is he? And the other crowd was saying, this is who he is. Now, Luke gets specific and he tells us why they were shouting and rejoicing. He says, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along praising God. Here's why: for all of the wonderful miracles that they had seen. There is something about experiencing a miracle that doesn't allow you to be quiet. I'm convinced when people come to church and they are quiet, I question whether or not you've ever seen a miracle. Because when you look back over your life and you think about the miracles that God has allowed you to experience, there is something within you that says, I cannot keep it to myself. I gotta tell somebody who he is. So I started asking the question, who could have been in the crowd? Because remember, Jesus was coming from Bethage and Bethany, which we know according to scripture, Jesus would visit very frequently. And Jesus would do a lot of his miracles around that vicinity. So you know a lot of people who had seen Jesus do a lot of things were in the crowd, laying their coats on the ground and grabbing palm branches and waving them and saying, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And I started to wonder, okay, who was in the crowd? And when I thought about that, I said, for sure, a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus must have been in the crowd. Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke give the account that right before this event, Jesus is coming out of Jericho, doing his own thing, and there's a crowd around him. And there's a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus who is sitting there by the gate begging as he had done for most of his life. He was sitting there waiting for handouts. He was doing his normal routine. His head was downcast. He was in beggar's clothes, and he was just waiting for somebody to give him a handout, somebody to give him a little change, somebody to give him a little almsgiving. But all of a sudden, on this particular day, while he was minding his own business, he started hearing the crowd getting louder and louder. And somehow, in the midst of the crowd, he was able to grab somebody and say, hey, what's going on? And somebody said, Jesus is coming your way. And blind Bartimaeus, who had been in a dire situation for most of his life, said, you know what? I refuse to let a miracle worker pass by me without telling him that I need a miracle. So as Jesus passed by, the Bible says that he said, Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And what he didn't realize is that he was fulfilling the prophecy that Jesus truly was the seed of David who was coming to establish the kingdom forever and ever. And the crowd around him said, Bartimaeus, shut up. Keep it down. Be quiet. You know your place in life. You're a beggar. Wait for alms. You know you can't be saying all that. You know you can't get loud. Keep it down. But blind Bartimaeus said, I refuse to be controlled by somebody else's opinion of the miracle that I need. So the scripture says that blind Bartimaeus cried the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, who is this one that's calling my name? Bring him to me. The reason why some of us are still waiting on a miracle is because we've allowed the crowds around us to get us to shut up. But if you really need a miracle, you don't care who's listening. You don't care what their opinion is. You'll say, Jesus, I need a miracle right now. I don't know the next time you're going to pass by. So while you pass by, I'm asking you to intervene on my behalf. And Jesus said, come here because of your faith. And this is what the Bible says, that before blind Bartimaeus got to Jesus, he threw off his beggar's robe, meaning that before I get my healing, I'm going to change my status. Some of y'all are waiting for a miracle before you give God praise. What if your praise is the breakthrough needed to get your miracle? So I believe blind Bartimaeus was in the crowd along with Jesus saying, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But just as he was getting through with his testimony, all of a sudden another man stepped up and said, wait a minute. I ain't going to let you keep the mic. Give me that mic. He said, I was sitting at a pool called Bethesda,
And I wasn't able to walk for 38 years. And Jesus came to the pool and asked me a question. He said, why haven't you got your healing? And I told him why. I said, at every season when the angel comes down and touches the pool of Bethesda and the water is troubled, the person that gets in first gets a miracle. The problem is I don't have friends that are loyal. My friends ain't loyal enough to snatch me up and throw me in the pool when the water is troubled. And Jesus said, well, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to walk. So Jesus said, according to your faith, take your bed, stand up and walk. And the Bible says instantly, the man leapt on his feet, grabbed his bed, and began to give praise to God. Why? Because for 38 years, he couldn't walk. But the fact that Jesus touched him in one instant, he said, I cannot just go about my daily life without giving Jesus all the praise. So I think he was there in the crowd waving his palm branch, throwing down his jacket, saying, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But just as he got through telling his testimony, I see a woman step up and say, I ain't gonna let all the dudes give the testimony. I ain't gonna let all the brothers get all the mic time. Some of you ladies ought to be shouting right now. Because Jesus said the gospel is not only for men and boys, it's for women and girls. So she stepped up and said, wait a minute, I got a testimony too, because I'm not even supposed to be here. Because just a few days ago, I had a problem. I had an issue of blood. I started bleeding and the bleeding wouldn't stop. And the problem is in the cultural society that I was in, because I had this problem, I couldn't even come out of my house. I couldn't touch nobody. I couldn't go to the marketplace. I had no friends. I couldn't get married. I couldn't have a child. I was wrapped up, tied up, tangled up at home, watching everybody else get blessed, until I heard that Jesus was coming through town. And since he's passing by, I'm going to make my way to him, because I know if I get to him, I can get a miracle. So she came out of the house unbeknownst to her neighbors. But when they saw her, they said, you ain't supposed to be out here. You ain't supposed to touch us. And she said, I don't care what anybody thinks. I got to make my way to Jesus when you really need a miracle. You don't care who you bump into. You don't care who you offend. You don't care what anybody's opinion is of you. If you really need a miracle, you're going to press your way through a crowd. So she pressed her way through the crowd and got to Jesus. She said, I'm not even going to talk to him. All I'm going to do is touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus stopped and said, something happened, because I felt healing virtue flow out of my body. And he looked at the woman and said, your faith has made you whole. I believe that woman was in the crowd as Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, and she was saying, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And just about the time that she got through with her testimony, I see another gentleman stand up and say, I am clothed and in my right mind. But if you were to see me just a few months ago, I was sleeping in a grave and I'm making my bed in cemeteries. I was running around naked. I was bound by chains. But the chain breaker, he stepped out on the shore and said, come here. And the demon said, hey, why have you come here to trouble us? And Jesus said, no, but I'm going to vacate you out of this man. And he allowed that man to receive a miracle, and he vacated 1,000 demons out of him. Why? Because there's no demon in hell that can stop the power of Jesus. Let me just stop and preach and tell somebody, there's no scheme of the enemy, there's no hex of the devil that can step against you. I declare in the name of Jesus, every demonic spirit that's trying to keep you from sleeping at night, I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Every demonic spirit that try to give you oppression in your mind, I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Every demon that try to convince you that you got to live in a family curse, somebody ought to give God praise that the schemes of demonic spirits that try to get your family have had to vacate the premises when Jesus showed up. And the Bible says that he came out clothed and in his right mind. I believe he was in the crowd, waving his palm branch, throwing down his jacket, saying, "Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Just about the time that he got through telling his testimonies, there were 10 lepers, used to be lepers, that came forward and said, "Wait a minute, we got a testimony too. Because we were cast out of the city, ostracized from our family, declared unclean by the priests. We had to live in exile. But we heard that Jesus was walking down the street. And as Jesus was walking, we said, 'Jesus, thou son of David, if there's any chance at all that you could give us a healing, we pray, give us a healing and touch our bodies.'" And Jesus didn't say anything to them except, "Go show yourself to the priest." And the Bible says that as they were on their way, walking in obedience and in faith to what Jesus said, they started to look down and the disease that was eating their body started to dry up. Let me just stop and tell somebody, sometimes it's your act of faith and walking that is your deliverance process. Sometimes it doesn't happen instantaneously, but if you just say, "God, if you said it and I believe it," start to walk and watch it take place. They were sitting there with their bodies clean, saying, "We testify, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And just about the time that they got through, there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children, that came in unison, said, "Wait a minute. We were in a desert. We were starving and listening to Jesus. We had no food and no place to go get food. But Jesus said, 'Bring me a little boy's lunch, 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. And we watched that Jesus blessed the food, broke it, and gave to his disciples, who then distributed it out to the people. And more than 25,000 people approximately were fed by a miracle that Jesus has performed. No doubt they were in the crowd. Why? Because they seen Jesus do wonderful miracles. And if you've seen Jesus do a miracle, you will give him praise." I could take time and preach to you about the centurion's sick servant. The centurion came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you don't even have to come where he is. Just speak your word. And when you speak your word, I know your word will go right to where my servant's at and heal him instantly." And Jesus said, because of that type of faith, your servant is healed. I don't have time to tell you about the man who was let down through the roof by his friends. I can't tell you about the woman that was at the well. I can't tell you about the attendants that were at the wedding of Cana. But what I can tell you, according to John, there was a significant person who was there by the name of Lazarus, who just a few days ago was in a grave. And Jesus walked up and said, "Roll away the stone." And you got to ask yourself the question, why was it significant that Lazarus was there? It's because Jesus foretold. He said, "Lazarus has to die and I have to raise him up, and it will be for my glory." The question is, what type of glory does Jesus get from raising a dead person? Well, if you were in the crowd, you would say, Jairus' daughter died, but she was still in the bed. And so you could have said that maybe she just fell asleep. We could say that, hey, we seen Jesus touch the woman of Nain's son who was on his way to the funeral procession. But you could say that he wasn't dead but about 12 hours, so maybe he was in a coma. But this man, Lazarus, he was already put in a tomb, and the stone was rolled in front of him. He was in grave clothes. Rigor mortis had already set in. His body was cold. His body was already getting eaten up by maggots and flies. He had the death napkin over his face. And yet when Jesus showed up, Jesus said to you, this is an impossibility, but I'm going to remove every excuse for you thinking that this could have been anything else. So I'm going to raise him up. So he said, Lazarus, come forth. The reason why some of y'all had to go through a hard time in your life and be put in a grave is because Jesus was trying to prove that when I snatch you out of that situation, it wasn't nothing but the hand of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I wish somebody would give Jesus 10 seconds of praise for the miracle that he has done. Lazarus, who had been now resurrected from the dead. The Bible says that the Pharisees, when they saw him, they plotted to kill Jesus, but they also plotted to kill Lazarus. And you got to ask yourself how Lazarus must have felt. Lazarus said, first of all, I didn't even ask to be resurrected. And that wasn't my idea. That was Mary and Martha. But now that I'm resurrected, you're telling me that the enemy is scheming to kill me. And this is the reason why they said. They said, we got to kill Lazarus because Lazarus is proof that Jesus is who he says he is. The reason why the enemy has been scheming to take you out is because your life is living proof that Jesus is who he says he is. That's why when I come into the house of God, I give him praise and glory because I've seen it with my own eyes. I can't deny what he's done in my life. That was then, but this is now. Because I can tell you all the testimonies of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. But when I look in this building and I think about who's watching online, I've got to ask myself the question, who is in this crowd that's ever seen Jesus perform a miracle? I wonder if there's anybody in here who has ever seen Jesus touch your body when the doctor said there is no way that they're going to make it through here. When the doctor said you got cancer and you probably won't survive, but unbeknownst to the doctor, Jesus stepped in and said, not this time, and he healed your body. If God has ever touched your body, you ought to give God 10 seconds of praise. Some of y'all went to counseling and the counselor said, I don't know, it's going to take years and years to get you out of this. But then you said, Jesus, I need you to touch my mind. And what the doctor couldn't fix on a chair, Jesus healed your body and he touched your mind. And because he touched you, you're in your right mind. No more depression, no more anxiety, no more fear, because God worked a miracle in your life. If he's ever touched your mind, take 10 seconds and give God some. Oh, I wish I had a palm branch, because I'd wave my palm branch and I'd say, Hosanna. I may just be preaching to myself, but if I had a mirror, I'd look at myself in the mirror and I'd remember the time when I was about 17 years old and I was driving down the highway at about 70 miles an hour and it was raining a bit, and as I was taking the exit, I hit the brake. And when I hit the brake, my brakes locked up and my car started spinning out of control. And when I looked up, I saw a pole and I was heading right toward the pole. And I did what my mama taught me, what my dad taught me. I had no other words, so I said, Jesus! And when I called on the name of Jesus, my car did something weird. And I hit the pole, but the pole didn't destroy me. It was 5 inches away from smacking me in the face. That's why I'm here yelling and screaming. Why? Because Jesus saved my life when I should have been dead in a car wreck. So I wave my palm branch and I say, Hosanna to the King of Kings. If you never do anything else, you've already done enough. I still gotta testify. I remember when Janice and I first got married. We came from the mission field and we were broke. Anybody know what that's like? I'm talking about McDonald's dollar menu. Two items a piece. Keep it under $5 for the two of us. Water, please, ice. But we wanted a house. So we found a house and we applied for a loan. Let me tell you something, we didn't have enough money to pay the mortgage. We didn't have enough money to pay the down payment. But we said, if Jesus can raise a dead man, surely he can work something in the system so that the loan is approved. So we said, in the name of Jesus, we apply for this loan. And the loan person said, y'all have money for the down payment? We said, how much is it? It was more than we had. So we just put a praise and a prayer on it. That same week, the loan officer called us and said, you ain't gonna believe this. But this week, there was something that passed by, and there's a program that'll pay for your down payment. So guess what? Y'all are approved. And we got into a house that we couldn't afford with money we didn't have. If Jesus can tell Peter to go get coins out of a fish, then what are you worried about? Having more bills than money. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you are able to ask or think. If he ever gave you a financial breakthrough, you ought to put a praise on it right now. Some of y'all are shouting, and there's some people that are going, you know what? Why are they acting this way? Because if you would have seen me the way he found me, you would recognize why I get excited when I'm in his presence. Because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was down, but he picked me up. I once was lost, but he made the straight, narrow way perfect in my life. Listen, I know you came probably wondering, is he going to give us 3 points and a point? This is it, y'all. Because there are some times when we come into the house of God, it ain't about deep theology. It ain't about us being wowed by some kind of revelation. Sometimes simply coming in his presence means that you take a trip down memory lane and think about all the good things and miracles that he's done in your life. And for no other reason, you just give him praise for the fact that you shouldn't be here, but he spared your life. He fixed your marriage. He healed your body. He provided for you. He came through for you. And that's reason enough for me to give him all the praise and glory. If I shout because the Cowboys made a touchdown, I ought to give God more praise for saving my life.
When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, how he set me free. Say, when I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, how he set me free. One more time. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, how he set me free. Yeah, when I think about Jesus, and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, and how he set me free.
I ain't gonna let nobody shout for me. Because I got my own story of what God's done in my life. And I can tell you this, if you can be quiet, you ain't seen nothing. Because if you see something, you can't help but give God praise and glory. If you don't know what to do, just give him a hand clap. If you can't give him a clap, give him a hallelujah. If you can't give him a hallelujah, give him a thank you, Jesus. If you can't give him a thank you, Jesus, won't you jump? If you can't jump, you better shuffle your feet. If you can't shuffle your feet, you ought to wave your hand. If you can't wave your hand, you got to do something, because God's done too much for you to sit idly by and do nothing. This is Palm Sunday. It's the triumphal entry of our King and King. He is here. What are you going to do about it?
What he's done for me,
when
I think about Jesus, how is that?
One more time.
When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus,
how one more time, y'all. I said,
when I think about Jesus, what he's done for me,
we're gonna,
when I think about Jesus,
we're gonna, we're gonna dance, dance. We're gonna, come, hey, we're gonna dance. Let me tell you why this was significant on that Sunday. Because what happened on that day was a fulfillment of what the prophet Zephaniah wrote about 500 years prior. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "Sing, O daughters of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the enemies of your, disperse the armies of your enemy. And the Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. At last your troubles will be over and you will never again fear disaster. On that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, cheer up, Zion, cheer up, Embassy City. Cheer up, people of God. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." I'm here to declare and tell somebody today that the God you serve is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is he who was, who is, and is to come. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the cleft in which I can hide myself. He's the wing on which I can rest under. He is here. And because he's here and he's done something in your life, you ought to take 30 seconds and give God your best praise. Some of y'all are like, what's going on right now?
Praise the name of Jesus.
If you want a calm Sunday, you may want to come in a couple of weeks. But this is Palm Sunday. This ain't Calm Sunday, it's Palm Sunday. So if God's ever done anything in your life and you want to give him praise, I want you to come up here. I need just some praisers.
Praise. Praise him. Praise. He's a worthy.
We ain't gonna be here long. But could you imagine what people were thinking on that day of the triumphal entry? As people were throwing their jackets down. Somebody in the crowd say, you know what? I don't need this. You go ahead and ride on it. Somebody else said, I got to wave something, so I got to get a palm branch. It was wild. It was loud. It was crazy. And for good reason. Because there was a bunch of people who had witnessed a miracle in their life. There are miracle witnesses in this place who want to give praise to God. So if you want to do, go ahead and give him praise in this place. I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta let it out. I gotta praise. About Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free, I can dance all night.
When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, how he set me free, I can dance, yeah, all night. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, think about Jesus, how he set me free, I can dance, yeah.
Grab somebody by the hand. Shake their hand like you're going to shake it off and tell them, he is here. Just do what you feel.
Dance.
I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. As I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Now give him praise. Put your hands together. I imagine this is what Palm Sunday looked like. If you were ever wondering what that day looked like, I guarantee you it looked like this. My sermon is over. But my praise is gonna go on forever. If he don't do another thing for me, he's already done enough. Somebody just wave your hand like it's a palm branch. I think it's interesting that a palm branch is shaped in a V for victory. Victory in my marriage. Victory in my body. Victory over my finances. Victory over my kids. Victory over my walk with the Lord. I'm walking in victory. So when I wave the palm branch, I just declare victory in my life. I'm done, y'all. Somebody shout Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I want you to say that all week as you prepare yourself for Resurrection Sunday. He is here. I no longer have to wonder if he's coming. He's here. And because he's here, I can face tomorrow. Because he's here, I can make it another day. I'll be all right. I'm going to be fine. Because he is here. Let me tell you a secret that isn't really a secret. Wherever you are, he is here. When you're walking through the mall, do people still walk through the mall? He is here. At my job, when I'm typing on the computer, he is here. In the hospital, when I'm sick and my body is wrapped with pain, he is in my lonely times, in my up days, he is here. And because he's here, you can praise him. Yes. Father, we thank you so much for sending your son in the likeness of sinful flesh, so that for our sakes he would be selected as the perfect spotless Lamb of God. And in just a few days from that day, he was crucified, he was buried, but next week we're going to celebrate that he got up. But as we go into this week, I pray that we would go in with a praise on our lips, knowing that you are here. We give your name the praise. praise, the glory, the honor, because you're worthy of it. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Next week, we're not going to be here. We're going to be at the convention center. Hug two or three people on your way out. We're going to worship on our way out. Tell them I love you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening today. If this message spoke to you in any way, please subscribe in your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. We would like to connect with you. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit embassycity.com. You can watch live on Sundays and view past messages on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/embassycitychurch. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Embassy Irving. If you'd like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at embassycity.com or text Embassy City, all one word, to 77977. We pray you have a great week. Thanks for listening today.